Okay, we're on the third installment of our series talking about our motivational gift, or what we call gifts of the Father. Last week we started into them. They're found in Romans chapter 7. If you missed that, you can go to rlfwc.com. Last week we talked about the gift of prophecy and the gift of mercy. And I had my prophecy gift come out last Wednesday night in youth group. You know, remember, prophecy doesn't like it when people disregard God a little bit. And I didn't yell, but let's say I was really stern. You know, during worship, they were kind of goofing off and not paying no attention. And I just can't help it. There's two times, you know, when we pray to God and when we worship God, there's no horsing around. You know what I'm saying? And just one of those deals. But, you know, I knew that was one of the things I got to be careful of, not to be too hard. But, yeah, it kind of stuck me on the inside a little bit. I didn't get too rough on them. Luckily, Christian McKenzie's there to help them not to feel so bad about themselves. But no, I just get real serious about it. And you'll find out through this teaching, you know, just different things that in your life, you can see the strengths and you see the misunderstandings they have to be careful of, you know, and it's very important. So today we're going to look at the idea of what it means to have the gift of serving and the gift of leading your organization. You know, have you ever volunteered for something? And we probably all have been to a place or maybe here. And when you went there, it was just very confusing. You know, here you're given your time and you go in there and just things are kind of a mess. And what happens is the left hand doesn't really know what the right hand is doing. You know, and you get into those things and there's movement but no progress and motion but no momentum. And what probably happened in that situation is the wrong person was put in charge. And that can happen. You know, when the wrong person is in charge, because, you know, I try to stress this, especially when people volunteer to fill a position here at the church, is, you know, I try to make them understand that being in charge isn't about being the boss, but about being able to facilitate others for the task set before them. See, it's not about being the boss. And we probably all ran into that sometimes when, you know, somebody all of a sudden gets promoted to being boss and, you know, then, you know, everything just falls apart. It, number one, either they get all stressed out and they take it out on other people because it's not their flow. I mean, I'm not saying they can't be in charge, you know, some things, but when they get in there, it's just not their gifting. And, you know, it's important we find somebody that tries to fill that slot as we look at it. Remember, in Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8, we're going to be looking at this. And remember, We come at it from the example of Romans 12 gifts are the gifts of the Father, Ephesians 4 gifts are the gifts of the Son, and then 1 Corinthians 12 gifts are the gifts of the Spirit. There we got the Trinity all involved in this, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all one, but yet we can see as we study Scripture, they have different characteristics and things that they take care of, I guess, their responsibility, okay? So here we're looking at the gifts of the Father, because what I call these are kind of your, I want to say, your personality gifts. This is kind of part of your personality. It kind of blends in, you know, with your soul. You have those other things that you've maybe taken those tests, whether you're a choleric, phlegmatic, you know, stuff like that. Well, these kind of mingle and differ in different people. So I don't want to go into all that because I even confuse myself sometimes. Have you ever confused yourself as you tried to figure something out? Yeah, okay. All right, Romans 12, 6 to 8 says, so we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. And he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. And he who leads, with diligence. And he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let's pray. Father God, we honor you today. We thank you so much for moving in each of our lives. Lord, we want to find the place where we fit. The place that we can really thrive. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're the teacher, you're the lead and guide us into all truth. We bind up from the devil from trying to steal the word out of our heart in any way, shape, or form, or bring any disturbance. And Lord God, we just thank you also. I just yield to the gift you put in me in Jesus' name, and I use it for your glory. Amen. Amen. You notice I pray the same prayer all the time, you know, when I get ready to preach. That's my activator. I say certain things that kind of get me in tune with the Spirit. And you'll find that out in your own life a little bit. I used to be when I put my suit on, that means I was ready to go preach. But I quit wearing suits a long time ago, so I had to find something else. You know, praise God. You know, you got to find your way. Now, an overall thought I want you to think about as you hold on to these teachings is our ministry is fueled by grace, attained by faith, and labored in love. Those are the three things as you endeavor and strive to follow God, to find out why God put you here on this planet. Remember, everybody probably knows when they were born, but not everybody knows why they were born. And it's important we find out the why. If you find out the why, everything else will fall into place. It'll give you something to head towards or to shoot at, shall we say. So it's important that we learn to flow that way. Now, overall statement of all these gifts, these seven gifts, remember, prophecy is the eyes of the body of Christ. They kind of perceive some things. They can read mail, things like that. Then there's service, and then we're going to look at today, is the hands of the body of Christ. There's teaching, which is the mind of the body of Christ. There's giving, which is the arms of the body of Christ. Exhortation is the mouth of the body of Christ. And administration or leading is the head of the body of Christ. And then you have mercy, which is the heart of the body of Christ. See, as we endeavor to step into our gifting and walk and flow with them, we need to be doing the greater good for God's greater glory. See, I feel the best we are is the stronger the body's going to be, okay? Just like in anything in life, it's only as good as the weakest link, right? You could have a big old log chain, you know, with rings about that big, and you go out there to try to pull your John Deere out because the Ford's going to have to pull the John Deere. That's a farmer joke. Some of you guys may not get that anyway. A lot of John Deere people around here. But anyway, that John Deere's stuck, and so you get a big old log chain. Well, it's not quite long enough. So then you get this little bitty rope, and you tie it on to the log chain and tie it on over to the other tractor. Well, that big log chain's strong, but see, it's only as good as the weakest link. Okay, it's like that in any relationship, in your marriage, anything. You know, just I'm kind of traveling off here a little bit, but you know, men especially sometimes can criticize their wives and put them down. But see, you're shooting yourself in the foot when you do that, because you know your family's only as strong as the weakest link. And if you belittle somebody, the kids or your wife or maybe the husband, you know, it's just tearing yourself down. And it's like that in the body of Christ. You know, we're in this together. Each part of the body has something to do. And if we build each other up, and that's what these gifts are for, is for bodybuilding and to build up the body of Christ. And if we encourage each other in our gift and the gift that we're supposed to use, then we're going to be stronger as a church. Amen. Amen? And we're going to make a greater impact on this community and on this world. And that's very important. So we need to learn how to develop our gift. So remember last week we looked at prophecy and mercy, like I mentioned. So anyway, today we're going to start off with serving. Remember I tried to find the gifts that are opposite of each other, the ones that might butt heads every now and then. And last week we looked at prophecy and mercy. Remember, a mercy person just all lovey-dovey. The prophecy person is lovey-dovey, but in a different way. They want to point out the sin so it don't hold you back no more. And you get those two counseling somebody at the same time, sometimes they might flow apart from each other instead of flow with each other unless you learn how to work together. I know me and my wife, you know, sometimes when we counsel together, we try to have a game plan ahead of time, you know. I say, hey, since you're kind of going for something here, I'll keep my mouth shut. You know what I mean? Because, you know, when you're trying to counsel somebody, you're trying to head them to a certain path so they can realize some truth, you know. And sometimes if you're not on the same wave, you'll take apart. And that's kind of like that in anything we do in ministry. Okay, so the serving person, there's probably a lot of these people in the body of Christ. And we all are called to serve. So don't think, well, that's not my gift. I don't have to do anything anymore. No, that's not really how it works. We're supposed to serve each other anyway. Now, a server, overall thinking of what they are, is that they're a kind of person that meets the practical needs of others in love. They just love to meet needs of people. And the way that they demonstrate love is through deeds rather than words sometimes, but not all the time, but mainly they do it in action. And they could just have a way of walking into a room and just kind of seeing what needs done. You know, they'll just jump right in and get her done. So this person who is a server, to me, is probably a great hospitality person. You know, they've just got the gift of hospitality, you know, in their life, because they have the ability to recall, probably through the Holy Spirit, the likes and dislikes of people. Like, this person would remember how you like your coffee. It's just important to them, because they want to make you feel special. I mean, that's just the way that this is the way they roll. And they're very alert, and they can detect and meet the practical needs that needs to be done. I mean, you can see servers when they walk in a room. They'll just jump right in, get involved, and start doing something. I mean, it's something goes off inside of them. It's just drawing them to do these things. And that's important. That's very important. They will try to meet that need sometimes quickly as possible. They just want to see that done and then be able to move on to the next one. And I believe that, you know, God has, you know, given them physical stamina without regard to weariness. I know people in my life I've watched, and, you know, they just make the Energizer Bunny look like a wimp. You know what I'm saying? They just go, 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 go. They just want to get in there and serve and, you know, bless people. And they'll come early and they'll stay late. You know, and it's just amazing just how God has given that gift, because we need that gift in the body of Christ. Sometimes they'll even use their own money, their personal funds, just to avoid delay of meeting a need sometimes. They just want to see that need met. They're just motivated to get that need done. And they want to see that job done. They'll just stay and do extra work. You know, they just want to see that job accomplished. And one drawback sometimes, they have a hard time saying no. They can't say no to somebody. And maybe, you know, you're that, or you know somebody like that. Maybe you're married to somebody like that. You know, they just can't say no to somebody. And that's one of the things they have to temper or be careful about. Because, you know, you can't do everything, right? You know, you can't sacrifice your family, you know, your time. So you got to step back a minute and try to put things in order and prioritize some things and know what you can do and just what you can't do. They prefer short-range goals rather than long-range goals. You know, they like to see stuff accomplished real quick. You know, it helps them to gain momentum. And, you know, I think that's a good thing. And there's that fulfillment, you know, that we all, I mean, you love when you complete a task, right? It just feels good. You can check that off your list. You know, I'm a list maker. That's why I like to roll, and I like to write stuff down for the day, and sometimes I try to write it down the night before just so I can get that done, because when you wake up in the morning, sometimes you may not want to do something. You know what I mean? Well, hey, it's on my list, you know. So I think I'm preaching to somebody right now. Come on, somebody. No. So there's a, you know, fulfillment when it comes to completing those, and they get a little frustrated with time limits on a job because it takes their joy away. See, they'd like to maybe do the special touches. Like I've always said, you know, whenever we have a dinner over there, I'm not the one you have set up the dinner. You know, me, throw out a few salt and pepper shakers, I'm good to go. You know, but then somebody that's a server, well, they want to feel real special. They want to drag out all these decorations that we have to take down and drag and put away then. I don't get that, you know, but I don't have that motivational gift. You know, and it's just, but other people, they just love to make things feel real special, and we need those. That's why I try to stay out of the way. You know what I mean? I schedule myself somewhere else when we're doing that. I say, it's good enough. No big deal. But no, I drag it down so I know to stay away. I take the joy away from them wanting to do that. I do. I know that. I mean, it's just, I stay away. You know, just let them have their fun. Praise God. Now, the misunderstandings is that sometimes this motivational gift, when they jump in and help to try to meet a need, some people might think it's pushy if they just jump in there. They might be stepping on somebody else's toes. You know, they don't mean to. You know, they just want to get in and get something done. And so then that might hurt somebody and stuff. And, you know, and they don't like red tape, so they'll just jump in and go it alone. I'm just thinking of a friend of mine I know right now. They don't like working around other people a lot of times, so they'll come in at night. They just want to do it their way, and you know, I just amazes me. And I don't know when they sleep. You know, I remember most of this teaching I received from my when I was in my church out in Denver, and they told the story of this server. They was down in the lower level of the church, and there was a wall there, And the wall was just looking hideous. The paint was chipping off. Maybe some plaster was coming down. And this server, motivational gift person, they just couldn't take it no more. They went and bought paint with their own money, and they went and painted that wall. Little did they know that wall was being tore out next month. You know what I mean? So then they got mad that they tore, you know. But see, they overstepped their bounds. They seen a need, and they wanted to hop in without checking with anything else. And if they would have checked with somebody with the next gift we're going to look at organization, they would have known that the reason why that wall was let go is because it's being torn down anyway. So, you know, it comes by learning how to work, you know, with other people. And, you know, sometimes eagerness to serve might be misconstrued as self-advancement. You know, somebody, they might think, well, they're just trying to, you know, take my spot or move up the food chain, things like that. And, you know, that's not the case here. And this server gift can get upset when working with other motive gifts. Like I say, that's why I stay away when we decorate. I would make them upset. I know that. See, I know where to go and what to do. So you kind of need to know where you flow, or at least know how to keep your mouth shut. Amen? So I've learned how to keep my mouth shut, but it's better for me, you know, that I just let that gift flow and, you know, do what they want. And praise God, it's good for that. The server sometimes has hard time, maybe, and these are the negative things of their gift that can be developed and changed, you know. And remember, the reason why we're learning these things, number one, it not only helps you understand who you are, but if you're working with somebody else that has these gifts, you can, it'll keep the peace a little better. You can understand them, you know, and it helps to see that. So they have a hard time accepting help from others sometimes because they're perfectionists and they like it done their way, and they'll stay, I mean, after, you know, everybody else leaves, they'll come back and fix it and do it the way they wanted. You know, it's not that it's just how they're wired. They're just a perfectionist. They just want things done a certain way. And they can also have their feelings sometimes get hurt when they feel underappreciated. You know, and that happens sometimes. And we don't, like I always say, we don't mean to underappreciate anybody. We just want to thank you for all that you do. But sometimes, you know, we miss it too. So we just want you to feel appreciated. You need to be spirit-led in all your giftings, okay? Because sometimes a server motive gift will hop in and do something when God is trying to deal with this person to get them to maybe do something. You know what I mean? So you're hopping in and you're kind of taking the place of God. So you want to be spirit-led in all this. And it's good to pray and develop that relationship with God where you can hear from God and know if I'm supposed to be involved with this or not. And it just takes maturity as you learn how to walk with God, because there's sometimes God wanting to deal with things. You just can't swoop in, you know, all the time, because it kind of interferes with God. Some people judge this gift as being less spiritual because they're meeting practical needs over spiritual needs, like somebody with a teacher, an exhorter, who are more into the teaching gifts, you know, they might say, oh, they're just a server. No, they're not just a server. They are a server. It's an important gift. It's no less or more important than any other gifts. And we need to see that. Once we learn that, we'll start to get along better. A lot of people think, well, you know, I'm not a preacher, you know, so I'm not as important. You're just as important. See, God doesn't, you know, God's not a respecter of people, the Bible says. You know what I'm saying? I remember, you know, when I first got saved, I was over at a grouping. All of us were in our 20s, and we was at a, you know, some birthday party or something. And one of the people lived in the house, and she was around there, and then, you know, she loved to serve. She was a janitor at the church. And she was in the other room kind of crying. Asked her, what's wrong? Because everybody else in the other room, they was kind of talking about their giftings, you know what I mean? Because we were all young and dumb and, you know, trying to show off a little bit probably, and somebody was saying, I'm this, I'm that, you know. And I kept my mouth shut because I'd just only been saved a little bit. You know, I didn't know a whole lot, so I kept my mouth shut. I knew that one, you know, from a long time ago. But anyway, she's out there crying. I said, but I didn't know this. I didn't know this. And I said, what's wrong? She said, well, I'm just a janitor. You're what? What's wrong with that? Well, I'm not, you know, I don't get up and teach Bible studies, or because her roommates were both outgoing people and wanting to teach Bible studies and always wanting to say a word to somebody. And, you know, I said, hey, you know, God's not a respecter of people. Your gift is just as important as anybody else's. And you need to see that. Just because you may not get up in front of people and talk or do things like that doesn't make you any less useful to God. Because in the body, we all need each other, okay? Let's say you're a hand and you like to lift people up. Well, if the feet don't show up, you ain't lifting nobody. You know what I'm saying? So you may think I'm all that because I can lift people up, but buddy, you need the feet to get you there. So it's all us working together as a team. And it's important that we never forget that because it can happen. You can easily get distracted sometimes because of more important tasks are needed and things like that. But the Bible character that reflects this gift would be Martha. Remember Martha and Mary? They had Jesus come to the house. I mean, how many would love to have Jesus show up? You know, praise God. Well, he's here today, but you know, physically Jesus showed up at the house. And they were excited because, I mean, this guy was doing miracles. He was, even had raised a few dead people. You know, he's just really casting out them demons and all the fun stuff, you know. Well, he showed up at their house, and then Martha got so distracted, she tried to make it perfect. She's a perfectionist, remember? Now, something we have to remember, they were a rich family. She didn't even have to lift a finger if she didn't want to. But see, she had kind of the gift of serving in her life, and it just showed what that person would do. And she got so distracted, and then she got mad at her sister because her sister was just sitting there at the feet of Jesus listening to him preach. And so then, you know, she tried to make, you know, Mary just like her. And that's what we try to do sometimes. When we have a gift, we try to make everybody look like us. You know, well this is what we do. This is how we do God. You know, it's got to be just like me. But it doesn't, because if we was all the same, it'd be a bummer, wouldn't it? Not everything could get done. Well, she did that, and she focused more on the task than on the person being served. And that's a misunderstanding that can happen with this gift. It's all, they can get more task-oriented, because when we put tasks ahead of people, we miss God, okay? The only reason we serve God is so that people can be blessed. You know what I mean? So when we're serving them, you know, we don't want to make sure it's the fact that we get the coffee right. We want to make sure that they know that, hey, I'm doing this, you know, because I'm doing it for the Lord. I want to glorify Jesus with my gift. And so Mary had that problem. She even went to Jesus and said, Jesus, tell Mary to get off her, well, you know what I mean, and help me. So Martha, settle down a little bit, you know. You know, you need to chill a little bit. You know, she's doing the good thing here. She's coming and, you know, hearing the word. And that's what's important right now. And see, we need to understand, you know, what's really important. And she could only see the short-range goal of cooking the meal rather than the long-range goal of growing in Christ. So that's a misunderstanding that can happen, and we can overcome those things if we're aware of them. And we're sensitive to other people, and that's what we need to be. Okay, so that's a little about the serving. Just for fun, how many people feel they have the serving gift? Okay, good. Let me take a picture, and I was going to put you to work. No, praise God, no. Good, that's awesome. It's good to know your gift, and you'll feel, here's what's going to happen. We have to cross-train because, the size of our church, we have people, and I'm going to go into that in a minute. But when you hit your sweet spot, has you ever remember playing baseball or softball and you swing and the ball hits the sweet spot? What happens? Boom. It just goes farther because it hit the sweet spot. So when you get into your sweet spot of ministry, you're going to be really happy, really fulfilled. You know, no frustrations. I mean, within reason, you know what I mean? We all live a hard life sometimes, but you're not going to be frustrated. You know, just like, you know, I'm going to go into it right now. I don't want to get too far ahead. Okay, now the next one we're going to look at is leading or organization. You know, a leader or organization. Now, just for fun, how many would rather be the one telling the person to dig the ditch than the one digging the ditch? Come on, be honest. We all would, right? But that was a bad example. I shouldn't have used that one. But, you know, now we're going to look at the person who has that gift of leading an organization. Now, a lot of people think they have this gift, but they may not. So we got to be careful, okay? So leading defined, it talks about one who stands in front of other. That's what that means. you know, in the Greek. So what this person really needs to be, and I want to stress this again, it's not about being the boss, okay? It's not about being the boss. It's about being the one who's the facilitator, the one who's leading. There's a difference between, like, you know, we were farmers and we were cattle people, not sheep people. You know, cattle people, usually we drove them. You know what I mean? We got behind them and we pushed. Well, sheep people, the shepherd always gets in front and leads, right? They lead the sheep. Now, granted, we would lead the cattle, but you had to have corn. You know what I'm saying? We had to have a bucket of corn, then they would follow. But primarily, see, it's different. We need to be a shepherd, not a rancher. We need to be a leader that leads from the front and not pushes from behind, okay? So this kind of person or this gifting is like a from here to there person. You know what I mean? They just have that knack or that gifting of being able to see the big picture right when they walk in the room, shall we say. They can see what needs to be done and where they need to go with that. And what it is, it's kind of the maintenance to the other ministries in the body of Christ. Now, here's some characteristics of this gifting. They have the ability to oversee the big picture and clarify long-range goals. See, they don't like getting tied down with the little things, but they like to see the big picture and what really needs to be done. Like if somebody was going to build a house, they could see the house already built. They could see all the different facets of what needs to be done just in a split second, in my opinion. They can really just see that. And they have this motivation inside to organize what they're responsible for. They want to make sure everything's just really organized and everything goes with the flow. Like I said before, when I started off, have you ever volunteered for something and you show up and it's this chaos? You know? Like if we was going to let's say if we was going to build a garage over here. And I say, hey, we're going to have a work day on Saturday. Everybody show up. Well, you show up with your hammer. I don't have any nails. I got only a little bit of wood. And I don't have a plan. Well, what's that going to do to a volunteer? Believe me, I've heard it. You know, oh, that's a waste of my time. You know what I mean? The wrong person was in charge. Because they did, a person that has the gift of leading an organization would make sure that they acquired all the materials. Now, we're going to look at another person in a minute who was like this. Remember David? When he was getting towards the end of his life, he knew Solomon was the chosen one. He wasn't the next in line, Solomon wasn't, but that was the one chosen by God. Okay? So David, when he was getting older and about ready to die, he started to lay in supplies for the temple. He started to get the wood and the stone and different things, maybe some gold and silver, different things. And he started to stockpile it because he knew that Solomon was going to be young and early in his leading, and he wanted to make sure that everything was there. So David, and you know, David organized his armies really well. You know, remember he had his three? There we go, three. Then he had his 30. You know what I'm saying? So he had just this gift going on inside of him where he could see things. And that's why, you know, God exalted him to be a leader. And so they just have this desire, the gift of organization, to complete tasks as quickly as possible. Now, one thing I want to say before I forget, sometimes both these gifts, serving an organization, they can be more task-oriented than people-oriented sometimes. That's the misgivings of it. You know, you want to be careful that you don't treat people. Have you ever, don't raise your hands, but at work, have you ever felt like a number rather than a person? They don't really care about you. They just care, hey, let's get this done. This has got to be done today. This is what I want done today. This is what I want done tomorrow. Well, that person's a manager, not a leader. You know what I'm saying? You know, they're just managing tasks. They're not really leading and making people buy in. And there's a difference in that. Okay, so they're aware of the resources available to complete the task. Like I said, they see the big picture. They see what they need to get and what we need to do. And that's good. So that's awesome. They have the ability to know what can and cannot be delegated. You know, as a leader, you have to learn how to delegate. You know, if you're the type of person that has to do everything yourself because you want it done right, you're not a leader. You know what I mean? You know, because a leader has to delegate. You know, it may take a little more time to train somebody to do something, but then if they can do it on their own, well, that's awesome, right? So to delegate that and then let it be. and then can't handle they can handle criticism from workers when getting tasks completed. I mean, it just seems like they got a bulletproof vest on, doesn't get through their armor, and they can handle some of the criticism because they see the big picture. You know, they receive fulfillment in seeing others come together and enjoy a completed task, you know. They just love it when the team shows up and gets it done. They're more excited for the people sometimes than they are, you know, for what they've done. And right after the task is done, they're ready to jump right in. What's the next one? You know what I mean? They're just the kind of person that just wants to keep going and keep things happening. And what I want us to see right now is the fact that you can have this gift of leadership, but you may not have the personality of what we call a born leader. You know what I mean? Somebody that has a big, charismatic, larger-than-life personality. A lot of people say, oh, yeah, he's a leader or she's a leader. You know, everybody just likes them. Everybody, you know what I mean? Well, they may not have the gift of leadership. Have you ever worked with somebody who is a very charismatic person, but they couldn't organize a bunch of ants, could they? So an ants are self-organized. That was a joke. Anyway, you get them next time. Anyway, I think they're self-organized. I don't know. But anyway, so that's something. So you may be kind of a quiet person. You can be introverted and be a leader. You can have that gifting where you can see what needs done and be able to make it happen. So misunderstanding is that sometimes when they delegate, they might seem lazy. You know what I mean? You're there and you're all working together and all of a sudden this person's telling you to do this and you to do that and you guys go over there and they're sitting right there. You know, that may have say, hey, what are you going to do? Well, I'm organizing. You know, a lot of people can get upset with that person, but we need that person so they can get things done because make sure that we have stuff. They may have a tendency not to share the big picture with everybody, you know, and that can get kind of some people irritated sometimes, you know, because they see the big picture and they've delegated out different responsibilities to people who may not have shared the whole picture, so people can feel a little bit misused sometimes. And got to be careful about, these are things we need to watch for. And they may view people as resources, so it looks like projects are more important than people. And that's something we have to be careful of, especially in the body of Christ, because, you know, we're all about people. Now, in order to complete things real quick, they don't care about people's time, you know what I mean? Hey, we're going to work here this night, that night, you know, and stuff like that. So they're not careful about that. So they can be preoccupied with tasks rather than feelings. Now, the Bible character that I shared about David, but another one was Nehemiah. Nehemiah in the Old Testament. Remember, he'd been taken captive, and was in Babylon, and then he heard about the problems happening around Jerusalem. It had been ransacked, walls were down, gates were down, you know, stuff like that. And so then he heard about it. Then somehow God it hit him real hard. And he was a cupbearer, and he went into the king. I suppose he took him his wine or whatever. And you're not supposed to be sad, I guess, when you go into the king. You're supposed to smile or whatever. But anyway, the king noticed he was bummed out. He says, "What's wrong?" He says, "Well, my Jerusalem's been, you know, this and that, and my people, you know, just God just gave him a passion. You know, this had to be fixed. This had to be done." And so he got favor with the king, and he went over, and in 52 days, he fixed everything that was going to be needed fixed. It was just amazing. He had some people over there, but when he got there, he asked that he might get some materials, you know, from the king's forest and things like this. And then he went out at night, and he did a scope, looked around, and saw the gates that had been torn down and all this, because you couldn't protect yourself if the gate was wide open, right? Because marauders and different things had come. Well, then he delegated out to different people. The enemy, this guy called Sanballat, I think, who was against him. He was kind of saying bad things about him and tried to make him stop. And they even had to work with one hand, the other hand carry a sword. I mean, it was just tough times. But he didn't lose vision of what had to be done. He delegated out to different families and different people a different area to work on. He made sure they had the materials, everything that they needed. And like I said, it was a miracle. He finished that job in 52 days. And you could see the hand of God was on it. But he had the gift of organization, somebody who could really see the big picture. And when things get hard, you know, even in the best of things, you know, I remember, a lot of you don't know this, but when we started the church, you know, we took on this job of planting trees. And it was like, I don't know, I don't want to say a wrong number, but I want to say, was it around 60,000 trees? I don't remember, but it was up there. It was a terrible job. But, you know, we wanted to get some money to help build a building, and this building is partially because of that. So we had to get these little things. They were welded. It wasn't a real spade. We just had to, it was a government program, you know, so it's, don't get me started on that deal. But anyway, so we went out, and this farmer hired us, and we planted all these trees, you know, getting people there and all that. But, you know, working with people, even in the best of situations, things can get a little stressing sometimes, you know. We had a person that wasn't the easiest to work with, you know what I mean? So I don't want to go in the whole thing, but I'm just saying I had him go work in an area all by himself because he was stirring up problems with other people, you know. And part of my other gifting is a little bit of organization, but I could see that that had to be done. And somebody else volunteered to go with him, and that was awesome. Mainly what the problem was is that, could you imagine carrying all these trees out into the middle of a field? We're on foot, and we maybe took our truck somewhat close, and then we'd try to work in an area. But this person just didn't like work. He didn't work with other people well. And he would light out, and he would get so far ahead of everybody, instead of turning around and coming back and stay close to the trees, he'd get way out by himself, and then he would complain that he don't have any trees. Well, duh, you went too far. Work as a team. But didn't catch that. After several times, hey, why don't you take charge of this area? See, I promoted him. You know, I made him feel good about himself. I said, you take that little patch, and you just take it and do whatever you want. And it worked out. You know, because you're going to find out there's some people who are hard to work with in ministry. And, you know, we need to try to keep peace in the body of Christ, don't we? That's what we need to do. And whatever we have to do to try to make that happen, you know, is very important. Now, how many here many people work in different areas, but especially at a factory this can happen too, but in any area of life, construction. How many have witnessed a great worker get promoted to be a manager and they fail miserably? You know what I mean? Somebody is, they're just gold when it comes to working on something or fixing something or doing that. So the boss gets this bright idea, wow, that person's an awesome worker. Let's make them boss. That just failed miserably. I remember, you know, I've told this story several years over the time of the church, but you've been here long enough, you know, we had a guy, and we'll just call him Tom. It was his name. And he was a journeyman. Well, when you're a journeyman, you take, you know, boss would have you run a job and then you run the next one. Well, it's Tom's turn. And Tom hadn't been used to leading very much. And we was on this big job. And, you know, Tom was a little scrawny guy. All of a sudden, Tom showed up the first day and he had this big old cowboy hat on. Never wore a cowboy hat in his life. Well, he's saying, look at me. You know, I'm the boss now. I'm the one with the hat, you know. And then just different things, and just was a terrible leader. Nobody wanted to work for Tom. But he was a good worker, but he wasn't a leader. He couldn't be somebody in charge. And, you know, as we find out those things in life, you know, be aware of him. It's not to diss him. He was a very excellent worker as a journeyman, very proficient, made the boss money, all that stuff. But see, we want to find the right place for people to fit. And, you know, servers and leaders get things done, but they can really butt heads, you know, when they don't see eye to eye, especially on some things. Now, let's just say you have a gift of leadership. You're the organizer. And this is one that we've had before. Let's say we have a funeral dinner here at the church, okay? And what's hard about us, we don't have very many retired people in the church, so those are hard to do sometimes. Well, let's say we have one organizer and one server show up for the funeral dinner. Well, with those numbers, does that mean the organizer never has to serve? No. We all can serve. You can be prophecy motive, mercy motive, exhorter, teacher, whatever the thing is. We all can serve. We all can hop in and help out. And there's times we just need to do that. And just get in and, you know, get things done. And, you know, as we do that, then we're going to start to see that, you know, we all need each other. So how many here maybe feel that they have the gift of organization or leadership today? Charlie? Okay. You like telling people what to do. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. You didn't listen to the whole story. Amen. Well, as we go through these, it'll come more evident. We're going to have three more to go. Okay. Next week, we're going to be looking at a teacher and exhorter. They're a little bit different, but I want to see that the church is only at its best when we each individually are at our best. Okay. That's what I want you to see. That, you know, we're going to, you know, we get stronger and you're going to be more fulfilled in the things of God. And, you know, we want to see you happy. We want to see you fulfilled in your walk with God, and you're doing things for God, and it's for His glory. Amen? It's not about us, it's about Him. Amen? All right, let's close in prayer. Hallelujah.